Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We continue our pre-Lent journey to the cross and empty tomb. We look once again at the sexagesima readings from this past Sunday. Tonight we'll look at the book of Hebrews and the power of God's word. Also, as a part of our worship service tonight, we have an opportunity to hear from our 10 junior confirmands. We, a few years ago, decided to break apart the questioning into four parts. Tonight, we'll hear their confession regarding the Lord's Prayer and the sacrament of holy baptism. And we pray God's blessings upon them and upon their confession of faith. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn is number 586, Preach You the Word. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. Page 229 and following. The propers are on the inside of our bulletin. Readings are on the back cover. And an outline of the service is on the edge. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the blessings you continually shower down upon us. We thank you for the gift of your word which creates and sustains faith, your word which lights the path for our Christian walk, your word which is Jesus Christ in the flesh for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, create in our hearts a hunger to hear, to believe, and to live your word. We ask a special measure of your blessing upon our junior confirmands. Bless them with strong faith. Bless them with courage to confess your word. And bless them with endurance and perseverance so that they might cling to your word, cling to Jesus their entire lives. All these things we pray, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 586.
Thank you.
verse, page 229. Page 229. Please stand as you're able. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. We sing together the introit. Be seated. This is the third of our four-part questioning for our junior confirmands. In our first part of our questioning, we talked about the Bible and about the Ten Commandments. In the second part of our questioning, we talked about the second chief part. We talked about the Apostles' Creed and in great detail for each of the three articles. Now tonight, we're going to take the next two sections in Luther's Small Catechism, the Lord's Prayer and Holy Baptism. Again, we pray God's blessing on our junior confirmands' confession of faith. You guys ready? All right. So, first of all, Joe, what is prayer?
A heart-to-heart talk with God.
Okay. Yeah, get it up close to your mouth. We'll let them deal with the volume. To whom, Blake, should we pray?
The triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay, to the one true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Claire, whose prayers have the promise of being heard?
Only believers.
Only believers. God can listen to an unbeliever's prayer if he chooses to, but only believers have the promise that God will hear and answer their prayers. Nolan, how does God answer prayer?
Yes, no, or wait.
Yes, no, or wait. Our God is not a God of doubt. He never leaves us hanging, never maybe. Yes, no, or wait. Jacob, give me an example of something we should not pray for.
Souls of the dead and to hurt someone.
Okay, we should not pray to or for the souls of the dead, and it would be a violation of the fifth commandment to pray to hurt or harm someone. Peyton, what is the most excellent prayer?
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. And how do we divide it for our study?
Introduction, seven petitions, and conclusion.
Introduction, seven petitions, and a conclusion. Now, we're going to look at those petitions now and see what God's Word teaches us about each one of them. First petition, hallowed be thy name. We don't use that word hallowed much in our English language. It is a derivative of the word holy. So, Walter, how is God's name hallowed?
When it's taught in its truth and purity.
When his word is taught in its truth and purity, and when we
lead holy lives.
Lead holy lives according to the word of God. All right, second petition, thy kingdom come. How does God's kingdom come to us, Allison?
When we believe the word and lead holy lives according to it.
Okay, so when we believe the word of God and then in turn lead holy lives according to it. The third petition, thy will be done. What is the good and gracious will of God?
His name is hallowed and his kingdom come.
Okay, that's the catechism answer. His name is hallowed and his kingdom come. What is the Bible answer for that?
Everybody goes to heaven.
Yes, God's desire is that all people be saved. Believe the good news. All right. Fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Aubrey, what is daily bread?
Everything to support our body and life.
Everything we need to support this body and life. Very good. What Old Testament story teaches us about daily bread?
Manna.
Manna. Manna. The children of Israel every day had to get up, trust that the Lord would give them food for that day. And a great teacher for us. All right. The fifth petition talks about forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is the only way that we can forgive someone else?
Because God forgave us first.
Because God forgives us first. God forgives us in Jesus, and then we in turn have the strength and power to forgive one another. Lead us not into temptation. What is the difference, Allison, between tempting and testing?
Tempting is done by the devil and testing is done by God.
Yes. Could be exactly the same thing. The difference is the source of the issue that is before us. God tempts no one. From that we have God's very, very clear promise. Okay, deliver us from evil. Most people, if they know what they're praying for, might stumble a little bit on this petition. Walter, what are we praying for when we pray, deliver us from evil?
To go to heaven.
We're praying to go to heaven. When will that happen?
When we die or on the last day.
When we die or on the last day. Most of us don't realize that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying to die. In God's time, but we're praying, get me out of here. Take me to heaven. Good prayer. Peyton, we close the prayer with the word amen. Jesus uses that word amen a lot. What does it mean?
Yes, yes, it shall be so.
Yes, yes, it shall be so. And Luther has a funky way of translating it. This is most certainly true. All right. So now let's shift to the fourth chief part. Before we do that, we need to talk a little bit about what a sacrament is. First of all, Jacob, what does the word sacrament mean?
Mystery.
It means mystery. We can't explain it. God's word clearly teaches it, but this mystery is something that we cannot grasp with our reason or with our sense. So, we learned that we need four things to be considered, for something to be considered a sacrament in the Lutheran Church. Nolan, give me one of them.
It needs to have invisible means or the Word of God.
Okay. Invisible means, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Claire?
Visible means.
The invisible means, the Word of God, is connected to the visible means. There's a promise there. They are connected. Blake, what else?
Gives, seals, and conveys the forgiveness of sins.
Okay, it has to actually do something. It has to give, seal, or convey the forgiveness of sins. And what else, Joe?
It has to be instituted by God.
Okay, we just don't make up what we do. God had to say, do it. So, with this definition, instituted by God, visible means connected to the Word of God, and it actually gives, seals, or conveys the forgiveness of sins. Joe, according to that definition, when we scan the whole pages of the Bible, how many sacraments are there?
Two.
Two. And what are they?
Baptism and communion.
Baptism and Holy Communion. Lord's Supper, Sacrament of the Altar, same names for all of that. Okay, so, Blake, what does the word baptize mean?
To wash or apply water to.
To wash or apply water. To wash or apply water. Claire, who instituted baptism?
Jesus.
Jesus. When did he institute it?
When he spoke the words of the Great Commission.
When he spoke the words of the Great Commission. That's Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Nolan, you ready? Go.
All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything in which I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the end of the age.
Perfect. Perfect. Jacob, what kind of water do we use in baptism?
Regular H2O.
Just plain old water, regular H2O. Jacob, I'm going to ask you one more. This isn't on the sheet. Sometimes people will talk about holy water in baptism. Now, there's a right way to understand that. If we want to talk about holy water, what is it that's holy?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Not the water itself, but the Word of God that is connected to the Word of God. All right, Peyton, under normal circumstances, who does the baptizing in the local congregation?
The called pastor.
The called pastor. Walter, in an emergency, who can baptize?
Any Christian.
Any Christian. Ellison, we make a distinction when we carry out the words of the Great Commission. What is that distinction that we make?
With infants we baptize and then teach. With adults we teach and then baptize.
Okay, so like all of you were baptized as infants, and now you're going through a period of teaching leading to your confirmation. With adults we just reverse it. We teach first and then we baptize. And I think, if I remember right, Pastor, we have an adult baptism coming up pretty soon. Someone who's been going through our adult confirmation class. So we see that distinction being carried out. Now, one of the most important things that we talked about in our study this go-around was infant baptism. God's word is clear in teaching that infants, babies, small children should be baptized. Eli, give me one reason why we baptize babies.
Babies are a part of all nations.
Babies are a part of all nations. Aubrey, give me another reason.
Babies are sinners.
Babies are sinners. If you've ever been around a small child, you realize that very quickly. Also, you know their first word, 99 times out of 100, is no, no, no. Why? Because that's the word they hear most often. All right. So, babies are a part of all nations. Babies are sinners. Eli, give me another one.
Jesus says, let the little children come to me.
Yes, this isn't just for big people. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Allison, what's the last one?
Babies can believe.
Babies can believe. Jesus says, whoever would cause one of these little babes in arms who believe in me to fall away, it would be better if a millstone was tied around his neck and he was tossed into the heart of the sea. Okay. Baptized babies. Can an unbaptized person be saved?
Yes.
Yes. What is it that actually saves then?
Faith.
Faith. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Peyton, where does the power come from in baptism?
The Word.
The Word? You sure it's not Pastor Poppy?
The Word, the Word, the Word.
All right. The Word, the Word, the Word. That's where the power comes from. We talked about four different Old Testament stories that teach us or give us a foreshadowing of the sacrament of holy baptism. You guys came up with another one. So, five Old Testament stories that teach us about holy baptism. Jacob?
Jonah and the big fish.
Jonah and the big fish. Nolan?
Moses parting the Red Sea.
Moses and the parting of the Red Sea.
Noah and the Ark.
Noah and the Ark.
Joshua crossing the Jordan River.
Yeah, it wasn't Joseph who crossed the Jordan River. Joshua crossing the Jordan River. And?
Naaman and the leprosy.
Naaman the leper washing in the Jordan River. All right. Very good job. Very good job. The fourth part of questioning will be Wednesday in Holy Week, and junior confirmation will be a part of the Easter Vigil service on Saturday, April 11. Please continue to keep our junior confirmands in your prayers. They did a good job tonight. They did a good job the previous questionings, and we pray that God would bless and sustain their faith today and always. Our service continues with our office hymn, Preserve Your Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. Preserve Your Word, O Savior. Hymn 658.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for the week of Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Common Responsory, page 230. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You guys and girls in catechism classes, all the catechism classes and with both pastors, you've all learned by now that God has created all things in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested from his works. This is not God sleeping in on a Saturday morning. God rested in heaven and earth's perfection. God rested in complete paradise. The heavens and the earth were finished. God ceased his working. It was all done by him, and it was very good. God actually says in his word, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This brings us closer to today's text in Hebrews. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God rested from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. That is, rest in paradise with God, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The same sort of disobedience of Adam and Eve. Shortly after God's holy rest on that seventh day, disobedience triggered by the voice of a serpent. The serpent said, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" How about that? The very first words of Satan to man were to question the word of God. Satan tempts by offering up false doubt of what God has actually said. Did God actually say? Students, catechumens, Satan didn't stop there. Satan puts false doubts into your heads. You'll think and you'll say later on in your life, you'll think and you'll say that it's just me thinking. It's just me thinking about acting upon temptations. Satan has nothing to do with it. But Satan will say things to you, and you'll say, it's just your own thoughts. You'll think back to these times right now. Did God actually say, I need to go to church after confirmation? Did God actually say, I shall not join in one flesh before marriage? Did God actually say, I should listen to my parents even after I turn 18? This is the same sort of disobedience that your parents and grandparents have fallen into. This is the same sort of disobedience that your vicar and your pastors have fallen into. Heed my word in this. Fall away from the word of God, and you'll doubt it more than ever. fall away from the Word of God, and for the rest of your life, you will find enormous amounts of unrest. The pressures of work, the pressures of school, and before you know it, adulting. Adulting without the Word of God. Your Bible you have now becomes a dusty old book on the shelf. Fall away from the Word of God and you'll lust after your own pleasures and you'll never be satisfied. You'll just want more. And since you are unarmed against Satan, you will lose. And it will hurt. But right now, at this very moment, you are being armed. Not just you who are in catechism classes with the pastors, but all of you who were catechized years ago are being armed right at this very moment. The Word of God has told you what God actually says. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You will fall into disobedience at times. You will be wrong. And the sword of the Word of God will pierce your soul as it sees the intentions of your heart. The Word of God, as you have learned, shows you your sin. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. But you are armed. For the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is the living and active Jesus Christ. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Your Bible that may be sitting next to you, your Bible that might be at home collecting dust right now, is the living and active Jesus Christ. You have been armed. You were armed in baptism. The living and active Word, Jesus, was added to water and given to you. You are being armed in catechism classes right now. You've answered questions tonight with what God has actually said. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, was nailed to wood. His blood paid for your doubts of what God actually said. Jesus Christ, the living and active Word, rose to give you faith so that you may know what God actually says. God actually says this: you are forgiven for all of your sins. You are forgiven by the living and active Jesus Christ. God actually says, you are mine, and you will enter my rest in paradise. From our reading today, strive to enter God's rest. God's rest. Strive to enter that rest. Because yes, God actually says, joining in one flesh is marriage. God actually says, honor your father and mother, no matter what your age is. God actually says to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Hold his word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And yes, God actually says, go to church. Strive to go to church, and you will find rest in God. Rest in the Word of God. Rest in the living and active Jesus Christ. And his rest will come upon you here and in eternity. Amen. We continue our Vespers service with the Canticle and Magnificat on page 231. Please stand. Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he
please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh for you and for your salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the power, the comfort, the peace of God's word would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
God's service continues with us on page 233 with the Kyrie. Please stand. God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. In addition to those prayer requests listed in our bulletin, we have two additional ones. We pray for Roger, Matt Durr's father, suffering from a stroke, and not looking well this evening. We also pray for a friend of the Huff family whose 20-month-old boy was recently diagnosed with leukemia. Almighty and eternal God, you alone are worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, and we give you humble and sincere thanks for all the blessings you bestow upon us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine. Provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In your mercy, bring to repentance all the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace upon all the nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all of those who are in authority. Let them make wise decisions in ruling our land. Let your glory dwell in it as well, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend into your care our schools and our children, so that they may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire, water, war, pestilence, scarcity, famine, and any other sort of evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, be the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of all those who are distressed and who sorrow. Be especially on this evening with Matt Durr and his family as they're in the hospital with Matt's father, Roger. Lord, grant them peace and comfort and faith in these difficult and trying times. Be also with the friend of the Huffs diagnosed with leukemia. If it be your will, Lord, grant them full and complete healing so that they might continue in their life. Accept, we implore you, our bodies, our souls, hearts, minds, talents, and powers, together with the offerings that we bring before you as our humble service. As we are but strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by a true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you give us to do while it is still day, before the night comes when no one can work. When our last hour does come, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 923.
Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word, the Word, the Word for you and for your salvation. Our junior confirmads did great. They're going to follow me out, and so they'll be out there to shake hands. You can tell them so yourself. Very, very proud of them. Also proud of Vicar. Great job tonight, and you know, I don't know if I need to preach a confirmation sermon now on the, oh yeah, I will. But very, very good, and one to take to heart, not only for our junior confirmants, but for all of us. If you didn't get a chance to get the Good Shepherd news and notes yet, please do so. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Next Wednesday, we begin our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. Ash Wednesday, next Wednesday. Is that right? Yeah. All right, yeah, next Wednesday. Had that look on your face like I was a week off.
I was born with it. I can't
next
help
Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we'll start our Lenten Wednesday schedule. Yes, you have confirmation class just like always. Church will be at 4 and at 6:30. In between, we'll have a fellowship meal, and that'll serve from 4:30 to about 6:15 or so. We started this, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago by having this 4 o'clock service, and it's really, really been a great blessing to come early and worship and then eat, or to eat and then stay for worship. And it's been a great, great opportunity and a great experience for us as a congregation. So that'll start next Wednesday. On Sunday, We have a special visitor who is coming. He's not preaching or leading Bible study, but he's going to be here. Pastor, do you want to tell us about this special guest?
Yes, Pastor John Dreyer from the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be here on an admissions visit. And so if anyone is interested in learning about the seminary, either being a pastor or a deaconess or even getting your master's in theology, he'll be here to talk about that. If you know anybody else from around town or the area, he'd be happy to talk with them as well. He'll be here all Sunday morning, and I think maybe even a little bit later than that in the day.
Okay, and there's no age limit as far as considering being a pastor or a deaconess. I had one of my seminary classmates was 57 years old when he started the seminary. So, and it's never too young. It's never too young to think about being a pastor or a deaconess in the church as well. So think about that, pray about that. He'll be here on Sunday. Great opportunity. Okay. Bible study in the fellowship hall, Jonah. Lifelight, James, and Jude, 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, room 107? Yeah, 107. Check out the news and notes. We've got some higher things devotions for this Jesima season. God's richest blessings in Christ.